Please listen carefully.
Hello, universe, and welcome to the Optimist Daily Update. I'm Christy Jansen.
And I'm Summers McKay.
And we are part of the team behind the Optimist Daily, making solutions the news. We bring you reader-funded solutions news every day in order to change the tenor of news media, social media, and the direction of your day to one focused on solutions.
7 days a week, we publish positive news stories written by award-winning journalists and delivered online to your inbox and through our social channels. And now we are sharing these solutions in a commute-worthy, walk-worthy, home office-worthy, third cup of coffee on a Thursday-worthy podcast. Today is Thursday, the 3rd of September, 2020. Good morning, my dear. How are you?
I'm fine. And it's so funny that you mentioned your third cup of coffee because I'm sitting here with my third cup of coffee, too. I guess just one of those days, huh?
I guess so. You know, great minds think alike. I was telling Christy in our early morning check-in that I had this fabulous night's sleep. The baby slept like a champ and it was so lovely to sleep in. But then all of a sudden, I was running late. And normally when she gets me up at 5, by the time Christy and I are hanging out here at, you know, 8 or 8:30, I've got lots accomplished. But this morning I have felt behind the eight ball all morning. So coffee it is, and trying to be productive in different amounts of time.
You'll be fine, Summers. You'll be fine.
So I saw some pretty cute pictures of Tucker on Instagram. How is Tucker doing?
He's just trucking along, being the Tucker he is, the wonderful Tucker he is. I'm not going to be able to take him with me when I go into my rented house. So that's going to be interesting. I've been having some anxiety dreams about leaving him behind.
Well, you know what? I'm not sure everybody on the podcast knows what you've got planned ahead.
So I am going to be I'm going into a sort of a quarantine lockdown with a good friend of mine. We rented a house together with our kids so that we can go and visit our extended family. Our kids are cousins with each other, right? Anyway, but it's going to be fun. It's going to be interesting. It's a nice house. It has a pool and it's going to be a complete lockdown away from the rest of our family. My husband's staying home because he's still working out in the world and he's going to be taking care of Tucker while I am gone. But I have my own anxiety about leaving him behind, I think.
Totally. Well, you know, as you've sort of described to other folks on the podcast, your extended family has maintained really, really, really aggressive quarantine tactics. Yeah. And that has been kind of isolating for you because you have not had the flexibility to go and give hugs and spend time. And I am so excited that you are going to take this journey so that you can step back, so that you can go have that physical touch, the hugs with your friends and family that all are in this quarantine pod that you haven't been able to be part of. That being said, leaving Tucker for 2 weeks or 3 weeks really is so sad. So maybe I'll go visit him for you. I don't know.
I'm setting up a support network for Tucker, actually. Yeah. I'm not as worried about my husband. He's pretty hardy. I think Tucker will be fine too. It's just, yes. I think I'm having my own separation anxiety anticipation, you know, that's what's getting me. Yeah.
Well, September is going to be kind of a crazy month for us both. As many of you know, my family and I are aggressively looking for another home to live in because we have outgrown our darling little beach abode. We are at a point now where you would laugh, Christy, if you saw the amount of sort of baby gate environments I have created for Brennan because she simply cannot be contained. And so our entire living room area, because we have this great big grand room, is now a series of playpens blocking bookcases. I've taken out all of the anything that was plugged in, we've taken out, and it's all now on the other side of the couch, and there's covers on everything. So she actually just has like a little roaming area that is, you know, twice as big as any roaming area she's had. But we need a room for her and we need space. And so that is our kind of big September activity, is that we are going to, and putting this out there, law of attraction universe, we are going to find a big, spacious, clean, simple, happy home for my family of eight, because there's 5 humans and 3 creatures. So me and the farm, and there's about 3 dozen plants as well that also will have to move with us. September is going to be kind of a month for us around here. Thank goodness. There's a 3-day weekend in here. Oh, wait. we work in the news. There is no 3-day weekend.
Never fear, Summers. It'll work out.
Yes, it will. Putting it out there in the universe that Christy has a lovely quarantine, and that'll start next week. So Christy will be in and out on the podcast when we can get her on. And then Amelia and I will be taking the forefront in that final week while you are off with your family, taking a much needed respite. Well, what are you watching on Netflix these days, my dear? Because the world wants to know.
Oh, my God. You put me on the spot. We just started watching the 3-hour season finale of Alone last night.
Yeah.
We only got through about half of it. It's been on our DVR for the last couple of weeks. So no spoiler alerts, please. I don't know who the final, who wins this 100-day challenge in the Arctic. But that was pretty fun. And then I've also started watching the Lovecraft Country on HBO. And that's a really interesting rendition of H.P. Lovecraft and some of his stories. But it's a very imaginative and refreshed kind of perspective. And I'm really enjoying that. So I haven't been doing much Netflixing lately.
Well, I've been watching If I Were a Baby Animal, which is on Netflix, and they're like 4-minute episodes of these two little kids narrating basically nature footage.
I think our households have a slightly different demographic.
Yes, yes. I do pop on If I Were a Baby Animal while I'm making Brennan breakfast, because while I try not to give her too much screen time, the reality is like it just happens. And she's going to grow up in a world with screens. So if she's going to watch something, If I Were a Baby Animal is fine. And this morning it was really cute. She has a toy fox and a toy kitten and a toy bear. And there were foxes on If I Were a Baby Animal. And she's, you know, picked up her fox and was sort of shouting at the TV and giving her fox kisses and saying, fox, fox. And, you know, it sounds more like fa, fa. But it was pretty cute. If I Were a Baby Animal. And then I'm also watching this other series on Netflix called Unwell.
I've seen the previews on that one. How is that?
So it's really, really interesting. What this show does is it breaks down some of the wellness industry sort of zeitgeisty things that are happening, whether it's bee venom as face care or ayahuasca that is a psychedelic or water fasting and essential oils. And what it's really doing is it's breaking down the positives and negatives. And it tells a story about somebody who's generally had great success using these tools and somebody who has not had good success. One of the ones that I really got hooked on was about mother's milk. And it was about adults using breast milk to supplement for physical activity. But then there's also this whole area of people who are using breast milk and taking breast milk as a way of mitigating cancer.
Are you starting to sell your mama juice?
No, I'm not be selling my mama juice. My husband, I was like, honey, I'm watching a documentary about how we can bank on my boobs. He also agreed that that would be a terrible idea. I am not one of those hyper producers, so I would not have enough. I can barely make enough to ensure that Brennan has her bottles every day. Really, really interesting. And I think what I've liked about it is that we hear so many stories about, oh, you've got to do this, you've got to do that, this is the next great thing. And I just love that it takes a really scientific approach to analyzing, you know, what is the science behind these things? And, you know, there's a little bit of science and a little bit of nuance in any sort of healing process, but I'm super into it.
It reminds you that you have to sort of take most of these wonderful new things with a grain of salt. I remember when fat was a bad thing to have in your diet.
Right.
And it was all about cutting out the fat, getting fat free, getting fat. Now they're saying that that's actually one of the worst things you can do for your body. Yes, there's healthy fats and not so healthy fats, but actually sugar is the thing that you've got to watch out for. And So, I mean, I just feel like this is why sort of the middle path is always a wiser and just take most of the new wisdom with a grain of salt.
Yeah. What? Moderation. Moderation is key. That's silly talk, Christy. That's so silly.
All right.
Speaking of silly and not silly, what's on the Optimist Daily today?
We had some interesting headlines today. And the one that stood out to me that I wanted to spotlight on the podcast today, the headline is, "This company converts old hotels into affordable housing." It's from the Urban Development section on the Optimist Daily. And it is quite an interesting approach using adaptive reuse of real estate. The company is called Republic, spelled with sort of the ancient Roman lettering. So it's REPVBLIK. Clearly, they are a fan of the philosopher Plato. And what they're doing is they're buying hotels that have been spiraling down in cities and towns that tourism is dropping, but they have a severe need for affordable housing units. What they're doing is they're buying these empty commercial spaces like hotels and converting them into affordable housing units. The article spotlights one of their projects, which is in Branson, Missouri, where they purchased an old Days Inn, which had been vacant for 8 years. And they repurposed the rooms into studio apartments and single bedroom apartments. And they're renting them starting at $495. And it's not subsidized by like housing governments. This is actually kind of
the business model itself.
The business model. Right. And so I found this very interesting. Clearly, these guys, the company has a bit of a mission. The project itself, this one that they are highlighting in Branson, is called Plato's Cave. They definitely are inspired by the philosophy of the past. And I think that's interesting. And I like that. But this kind of repurposing and adaptive reuse for buildings which are no longer in productive use in their cities is one of the ways that we can help to address the affordable housing crisis that we have in many communities around the country. And it's also sort of an interesting way of being a little bit more sustainable and lowering your carbon footprint, because when you get rid of an entire building and then build on top of it, it's a lot of waste. So it's basically using this real estate, which would otherwise be sitting idle, going to waste, and turning it into something that's useful. That's my comment there. And you can use that if you want to as the little bridge to your story.
Yeah, I was going to say re-envisioning. So right now we do have to embark on re-envisioning our systems, and whether it is looking at housing in a different strategy. The Optimist View this past weekend was about not using growth as our key indicator for success, and instead repurposing our vision for what makes a good society. The story that I picked today is along that vein. The headline reads, "It's time to value waste collectors for their work." As anyone who has a baby knows, there's nothing more exciting than trash day. We also, as we have gone through this pandemic and quarantine, as a society, certainly here in the United States and other developed countries, watched our waste collectors continue to show up at work while everyone else was sent home. We have watched them soldier on and do their jobs, even when the rest of us were told to stay home and not go or do anything. And along with other healthcare heroes and other essential workers, the essential work of waste collectors has never been more salient. This story takes us to India with a founder of an organization, Chintan, named Bharati Chaturvedi. This Indian organization cuts waste and consumption. Recently, there was a plenary discussion at Circularity 20, and I'm going to just quote her. She raised a very valuable point. "If waste collectors play such a pivotal role in the plastic supply chain, why aren't they valued adequately for their contribution?" Now, Christy, you can share a little bit about what waste collection looks like in India, and that there is sort of a underground economy around waste collection and recycling.
Well, what it looks like in India is piles and piles of trash, which is then picked over by some of the poorest, most sort of isolated members of their communities, because their lifelong career is picking out the trash and then seeing what they can find, cleaning it up, selling it, and making their money out of other people's waste. Honestly, I mean, it's kind of like, if you think about it, it's like the junk dealers that we have here. And the secondary market is a really, really good market if you understand it. Think about eBay and Craigslist and things like that. There's a lot of people, even in our society, that are really sort of the modern equivalent or the first world equivalent of waste pickers, right?
Exactly. And not only sort of the junk to joy folks, but also the folks in the United States and other developed countries who go and cull through waste to look for recyclables, and whether that's aluminum or plastic. So what this article does is it talks about this particular organization that has codified the value of this behavior, that recognizes the value of recyclables and of changing the plastic supply chain. What Chintan has done is using waste collection as a tool to fight poverty, child labor, gender-based violence and exclusion, and climate change while creating green jobs. I'll let you guys go read the story to kind of know more about the organization. Mr. Green Africa is a partner organization in this effort. What I think is really critical about this story and really critical about our perception of waste in general is that this is an essential, imperative, and highly valuable skilled labor around identifying how we minimize our waste, minimize our impact on the world, and how we can reduce our footprints, reduce our waste, reduce the big floating wastelands in the ocean. The idea that waste collection is not a valuable job just needs to be done.
Yeah.
We've heard so many great stories about re-envisioning dumps, et cetera. And cool. I love this story on the Optimist Daily.
Yeah, if you think about it, these workers are providing an essential service to the world. As we try to move the way we understand our role in it into more of a circular kind of economy, finding new uses for our waste and not just letting it pile up in our rivers, in our landfills, polluting the air and the soil and the waters around us. The people who can find a treasure in the trash actually are providing an essential service. So.
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. We've got some other great headlines on the Optimist Daily today. Christy, what else do we have?
So we have a really interesting story about an automated insulin system that's now available for young kids to use. And this is to help combat diabetes, which is unfortunately endemic in America and in other countries around the world. There's an article about how to fix your leaning houseplants. We love our houseplants here on the Optimist Daily.
I know. The Optimist Daily brought to you by houseplants.
The singing dogs of New Guinea. Thought to be extinct. Actually, they have been rediscovered in the wild, and that's kind of an exciting story for those of us who are canine lovers.
Ooh, there's I hope they make an If I Were a Baby Animal episode about this dog.
There's a venture capital firm, a group of them that are collaborating to offer African startups a pandemic lifeline.
Our writers heard our request on asking about a great story on how to move on from regret and not living in the past. I think we were talking about that on Tuesday, or maybe it was yesterday, about not always being in the past. And this is fantastic. There's 8 or 9 great tips in here. You should definitely read that one.
And there's a zero waste eye mask that's both compostable and plastic free. That's for those of us who have the dark under eye circles from not sleeping enough or other stress. And Timberland has pledged to achieve full circularity of its products by 2030. Talking about the circular economy, Timberland, they make the shoes that those in the R&B industry and workers actually can wear. Mm-hmm. And then architecture student has created a sustainable alternative to greenhouse. This is an interesting design solution on the Optimist Daily. So those are today's top solutions. Log on to the website and check them all out. Read them in depth. And that's it for September 3rd. Thank you all for listening today to the Optimist Daily Update. We promise to continue to share positive solution-based stories with ideas on how you can participate in this changing world to ensure it is changed for the good. And we promise to continue to cover current events with accuracy, legitimate sources, and to offer you the information that you need most to chart new paths for all of us.
And because it's Thursday, because it's the 3rd of September, because you're just in a great mood, please consider becoming an emissary on theoptimistdaily.com. And for just $5 a month, support reader-funded independent journalism. Hey, if you already are an emissary, consider gifting somebody else an emissary membership. That would be rad. Be part of the solution, changing consciousness and addressing our world's biggest challenges with a problem-solving mindset. Let's keep the Optimist Daily free for all who need it, supported by those who can. Thanks, everybody. Have a great Thursday.